This is CKLN 88.1 FM, licensed by the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission to broadcast in stereo at 88.1 MHz on the FM band. CKLN is owned and operated by CKLN Radio Incorporated, which is located at Ryerson University within the Student Campus Center in Toronto, Canada.
At the time of license application, CKLN filed a comprehensive promise of performance with the Commission, and within that document made specific commitments to its operations and programming. The license issued by the CRTC requires CKLN to honor these commitments made in the promise of performance and to comply with the FM radio broadcasting regulations.
A copy of the license with the promise of performance and conditions of licensing is available for inspection by any member of the public at the offices of the Commission and at the offices of CKLN during business hours. Radio frequencies are public property in Canada. CKLN invites your comments and inquiries.
Our mailing address is 55 Gould Street, Toronto, Ontario, postal code M5B1E9, phone number 416-979-5251.
Thank you for tuning in to CKLN 88.1 FM, and good morning.
Century, doing something mean to it, do it better than anybody you ever seen do it. Scream from the haters, got a nice ring to it. I guess every superhero need his thing. I'm living in that 21st century, doing something mean to it, do it better than anybody you ever seen do it. Scream from the haters, got a nice ring to it. I guess every superhero need his theme music. Don't want me to have all that power. The clock's ticking, I just count the hours. Stop tripping, I'm tripping off the power. The system broken, the school closed, the prison open. We ain't got nothing to lose, everybody we rolling. Huh? Everybody we rolling. With some light skin girls and some Kelly rolling. In this white man world, we the ones chosen. So good night, new world, I see you in the morning. I see you in the morning. This is way too much, I need a moment. No one man to have all that power. The clock's ticking, I just count the hours. Stop tripping, I'm tripping off the power. Kill and pump that, the world's ours. And they say, my first, my goalie, my ice brought the goalies, and I embody every characteristic of the egotistic. He knows he's so fucking gifted. I just need in time alone with my own thoughts. Got treasures in my mind, I couldn't open up my own vault. I tell like creativity, purity, and honesty is honestly being crowded by these grown thoughts. Reality is catching up with me, taking my inner talent, fighting for custody. But these responsibilities entrusted me as I look down at my diamond encrusted piece, thinking no one man to have all that power. The clock's ticking, I just count the hours. Stop tripping, I'm tripping off the power. T.O.D. and pump that, the world's ours. Translation with a whole fucking nation. They say I was the Obama nation of Obama's nation. Well, that's a pretty bad way to start the conversation. At the end of the day, God damn it, I'm killing this. Y'all know damn well y'all feeling this. I don't need jokes, I'm on my own. I ain't got a power trip. Who you going home with? How they doing? I'm surviving. I was drinking earlier, now I'm driving. Where the bed, huh? Where you hiding? I got the power, make your life so
everything go.
You got the power to let power go.
Listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening. This is your host BK, aka Black Krishna, aka Vijay Sharma. And here on this Monday morning, I just got back from a fun weekend. Interacted with some family, with some friends. I got a chance to collect my thoughts. And I gotta tell you, no one man should have all this power. No, seriously, knowledge is power. And I happen to learn a lot. And so did you. And yet we're getting a little less comfortable with saying what we know and saying what happened. And you could see somebody after like a week or 2 weeks or a while and you say, "Hey, what you been up to?" And they'll say nothing. And you're like, "Man, how did 174 hours pass and you did nothing?" You know? Is it just you're not good at talking about what you did, or you don't like what you did? Or you don't care about what you did? Like, what's going on there? And here on the Rude Awakening show, I do talk about the powers that be evil, the establishment trying to brainwash us, trying to dumb down, dehumanize, rob, and murder us. And I say that not to say gotcha, like I don't work for them. They're coming out and saying that in a lot of ways with articles on bisphenol A. Canadians are full of bisphenol A contaminants, according to the CBC article recently, and we're getting everything. And CBS News has Fidel Castro talking about Bilderberg Group, and the London Independent has a great article on how the Big Brother TV show helped usher in the Big Brother state, and how the Big Brother TV show itself, the producers, were cruel and evil and dehumanized the contestants on that show, as many contestants later kind of came out and said, forcing them to do horrible things and creating, you know, people editing footage carefully to create role models for us that were scummier than they were as human beings, so that we become scummier than we are as human beings. Now, I got to tell you, people just getting knocked down is not your fault, but not getting back up, you know, that's our fault. You know, if you have the ability, unless you're completely mentally, you know, handicapped or whatever, then you have the ability to beat this. You know, as Alex Jones said, as Martin Luther King, those guys were getting hit by dogs and fire hoses. All we gotta do is burn DVDs, make flyers, put up posters, share some information, which can actually improve your relationships. Because people will go, "Wow, you're pretty smart," if you're selective, if you're careful about it. You know, but again, only when you're first learning to talk, you say anything. Blah, blah. But after you've learned to talk, you can learn to talk about this stuff better. But one of the guys that does that the best in the world is Mr. Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. I'm going to let him break down our libido castration, our lobotomization, our castration, you know, culturally, chemically, so we can beef.
Again, it was as a Maryland medical group has started treating autistic children in South Florida with shots of a drug used for chemical castration, a therapy widely planned by, or panned by mainstream experts. The group gives children the cancer drug Lupron to stop their bodies from making testosterone. Well, the CEO Clymer was right enough, saying the drug helps expel toxic mercury, because that's one of the theories that causes it, you see. But it's not, it's more, it's way above mercury, it's other stuff in the shots, you see, it targets part of the brain. And quells aggressive or sexually explicit behavior by children with excessive levels of the main male hormone. How can you have excessive levels of the male hormone? You see, it's impossible to have excessive levels. There's only a normal range, you see. But that's good enough, that'll do most folk. A Boca Raton mother who just put her 18-year-old son on the drug says it seems to help. I'm sure he's taken up knitting. But numerous physicians, researchers, and therapists insist there's no proof mercury causes autism, that Lupron removes mercury even, or that autistic children have excessive testosterone. I bet they don't have excessive testosterone. They're eating the same rubbish as everybody else's. What's more, the drug carries a risk of bone damage, stunted growth, and heart trouble, and can render children impotent. Well, I guess you can render everybody impotent in that case, eh? These experts, oh, I love these word experts, contend that Lupron, costing about $5,000 a month, but seldom covered by insurance, is one of the many treatments that cash in on the desperation of parents trying to cope with an incurable condition for which medicine has few good answers outside of painstaking behavioral therapy. Well, you see, that they're so far ahead, and always have been so far ahead with chemical warfare, that they can literally target specific parts of the brain, even with viral or microbial disease that's short-lived. You will get over it, but it'll have done its damage because they're trying to lobotomize everybody's brain. I've read the articles on it. Arthur Kessler was a proponent of it. He worked at the United Nations. He wrote the book Ghost in the Machine. And he said that they had many different departments working on different ways to carry specific agents to particular parts of the brain that will do away with your ability for self-preservation. Those parts had to be destroyed. The state would be taking care of all the decision-making for the people, so they wouldn't need that anymore. But he said the same thing as Charles Galton Darwin, who also suggested the same thing. And Charles said that we are the leaders of society and the world. We must remain as wild men, but that the public would have to be basically, you know, lobotomized and sterilized too. Because you see, if you're a wild man, you have your ability for self-preservation. They're trying to drive that out of us. They've been very successful. Look around you. Look around you. Revolutions and rebellions were caused in the past for much, much, much less and on less information than the public ever got than we've had today. And what's the answer of all the effeminate men today? Oh, let's vote another guy in to the same system that's never worked before. Let's just vote another guy in. The estrogen's quite some stuff, eh? So anyway, that's what's going on in the world. It's quite something, isn't it? Makes you think. Makes you think indeed. I hope it makes you think. Now there's another thing happening too. There's a lot of articles coming out all at once, talking about the ineffectiveness of certain drugs. It says 5 out of 6 new prescription drugs don't work, a doctor claims. And this is, says, oh, 17th of August 2010 from Telegraph. And it says here, doctor conducted secret clinical trials prescribing hay fever tablets for neck pain and earache. Cholesterol-lowering statins were a classic example of drugs industry overselling a product as a wonder pill to prevent heart attacks and so on. Large firms hyped up patented medicines, spent vast amounts on getting doctors to prescribe them, and underplayed the serious side effects, said Professor Donald Light, a sociologist and professor of comparative health and policy at the University of Medicine and Dentistry in New Jersey, U.S. When the toxic side effects of prescription drugs were taken into account and their misuse, he claimed they were a significant cause of death. And it says cholesterol-lowering statins were a classic example of the drugs industry overselling a product as a wonder pill to prevent heart attacks, despite evidence that they could do more harm than good, he claimed. In a paper that he presented to the American Sociological Association Tuesday, he said pharmaceutical companies were guilty of creating a market for lemons, one in which the seller knows much more than the buyer about the product and takes advantage of this fact. Now, there's a stack of these articles out I've got here, in fact. They all come out at once. So you have a trend, as they call it, set out. And I wonder, too, if it's to fit in with this new diminished healthcare system. I always like to think the other way as well and be the devil's advocate sometimes. And I've read the RAND report for the US government as they bring down the healthcare system on an even more impoverished version of the British system they're going to copy. And we've seen that the British system has been slashed to the bone. They don't even do cataract operations now for the ordinary folk or hip replacements or anything. That's all cancelled as they save money. And in the US, RAND one, they said they'd bring in more holistic medicines, where you'll go back to eating different kinds of herbs and stuff and hope for the best. Lots of placebos in there, and they're expensive on their own as far as I'm concerned. But I'm just wondering if the psychological thing to start giving a class division between drugs that perhaps will work in an emergency and just panning off some of the herbal stuff to the people who can't afford the higher medical care or the higher prescription drugs. There's something going on that stinks. Now, some drugs certainly... See, all drugs will do something. Most of them will do their best work for the first week or two. Your body gets acclimatized to it and it stops working. So that most of these drugs are really meant for a short term. And when it comes to pain drugs and stuff like that, they're very good initially to get over that little crisis. But the problem is if your pain keeps going in a chronic condition, it isn't going to do much good. Your body will overcome it and get used to it. Our bodies adapt to so much except estrogen. I'll keep rubbing that one in for those that have forgotten already. And I really wonder if that's part of it too, because they're going to bring in a lot of holistic. And by the way, under holistic, anything goes. A local shaman can come in and wave his hands all over you in the hospital, or I guess they don't have a hospital. He'll come to your home and give you a few prayers and stuff, and maybe you'll have a placebo effect off of that. But I can see they're going to start really withholding a lot of proven too. I'm not talking about the statins, they're not proven, they are rubbish. But proven medications that can extend life a little bit in chronic conditions, I can see them taking that out of the hands of the general public. And I think that's really part of this whole Obamacare nonsense that we're hearing about right now. And this is a must-be, by the way. They're going to cut us to the bone. United Nations, World Health Organization, in its own charter, each part, the UN gets its own charter. And they say that everyone across the whole world will be entitled to the most basic health care. Basic health care. That also means that no one will be above that country on a higher health care. I hope you understand that. But of course, for the elite themselves, because they have to rule the world on behalf of the peasants, they will get a more advanced health care. One thing I do know is they're way ahead of all these medications that we hear of. For the elites, obviously they're not going to give the public the really advanced medications, which they've had for about 100 years, because they don't want to give life extension. They've even said it themselves, and Birkenhead said it too. You'd have overpopulation then. You'd also have a problem with very wise elderly men still working, competing with the young ones. The young ones wouldn't have a chance trying to come into business or anything else. So they'd already worked out that problem, not to give it to the general public. And that's what's going on right now. So there you are, as I say. There's Facebook and all the rest of it. Knowing what would have to come before they even gave you Facebook, they know that they would get you to this stage where people would be red-faced as you go into adulthood. since they put all their little childish things onto the Facebook, quite happily to do so at the time, mind you. An article here called American Culture, Climate Realism Not to be Denied Any Longer, August 19th. Last week's meeting of over 700 scientists, policymakers, and concerned citizens in Chicago to discuss the science and economics of global warming at the 4th International Conference on Climate Change was a huge success as measured by the intent of its sponsors to establish once and for all that the climate realist position is increasingly the accepted conclusion among thinking people in the three categories noted above. That position is that man-made global warming is not a crisis. Yes, all parties at the conference pretty much agreed that there was a good deal of warming in the 80s and in the early 90s, and that the trend stopped and reversed in the current decade. Global temperatures have been falling in recent years, even though the weather stations and other data chosen to represent the official temperature records are in fact skewed to show higher and more rising temperatures than are actually occurring. The predictions of a steady, horrifying increase in temperatures have proven false, which should have been a great embarrassment to the climate alarmists who made the claims and set them as the basis for their extravagant power grabs such as emissions limits and cap and trade. Yet the embarrassment has not been forthcoming from them, from those proven to be wrong, because they are shameless. They mentioned that James Dellingpole, a writer in the British newspapers, was there too, and did a good write-up on it too. But it does go on to say that a cabal are the ones running this whole global warming scam. Same cabal that will profit from it. It's a cabal that want to rule the world through, oh, we'll save you because the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Only we, the experts, can save you, and it's going to cost you everything you've got with carbon taxes and all the rest of it. But what a gall, eh? They've already got the bank set up for carbon credits and so on, right down to hammering you, the individual, with carbon credits as well. Just for your right to life and to live right on this planet, they're going to take everything from you, every penny from you.
Is this thing on? I thought they silenced us, yay. Power to the people. We living in that 31st century. Futuristic fly shit. The penthouse is the projects and everybody flies private. New watches.
Know what time it is.
Watch us. They can't stop us. The prophets. Biatches.
No one man should have all that power. Yeah. The clock's ticking. I just count the hours. Yeah. Stop tripping. I'm tripping off the power.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. You know, I gotta tell you something. In terms of power. Well, from what I can tell, you know, studying a few thousand years of history as best we can today, men gotta have power. And men gotta be in charge. Because if not, they get destroyed. They escape. They escape their lives. 2,300 years ago, the philosopher Plato in the Republic, his philosophical book that explained how people in power could control masses of people. And 2,300 years ago, Plato in the Republic wrote, they're going to use sports. You should use sports to make sure men don't man up, defend their families. And men just swang off another guy's jock. Because they know that if you just swang off another guy's jock, whether it's LeBron James' jock or Kobe Bryant's jock or, I don't know, Jock Doubleday's jock, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, I'm trying to think of a leaf right now. I forget. But you can't, because then your woman doesn't respect you. If all you're doing is swinging off another guy's jack, she don't respect you. And that's a problem. And I tell you, men got to be in charge or they lose their minds and women lose their faith in their men. And ladies, you're lucky because we're lazy. We're really lazy. Men are really lazy. So even if we have the power. We'll let you make 90% of the decisions. Cause we don't care. And we don't want to think that much. And we just don't, like, you be like, yeah, next Saturday we're going here. We got a wedding. You should wear that suit. You do this and so, and the kids got to go here, and this would be a good idea. And what do you think of this? And blah, blah, blah. And she could just have fun doing all that. And I'm telling you. But when we disagree, when her man disagrees, you know, he wants a little bit of respect for that. And there's that classic archetype of you know, the women, you know, doing, like, raising the kids and trying to teach the kids, and the kids are young, and the kids ain't listening, and dad comes home, and dad just gives the kid a look like, I'll hit you. I'll hit you. And the kid goes, all right, I'll listen to mom. and that's the thing. And why is this important? Because this is the key. This is the key to why we can't talk. Why we can't talk. The only reason you can't talk is you feel like you got no power with respect to what you say, what your words mean. You know, you got that's the thing. Is that if you don't talk about important things, serious things, and add your own serious swag and serious spin to it, then you're just teleprompter. You know, you're just basically like copying crap that you've seen before. And so it's important, because this is going to get worse. As Mr. Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com said, you know, they're trying to lobotomize and castrate us, and they try to tax us, and they're coming hard for us right now. That's what this is. And yet, you talk to people, and sometimes people can't talk no more, or they don't feel like talking much, and you know, barely express themselves. And you know, they want to talk about what's in the media. Hey, here, Rob Ford said this, BP oil spill that. And yet, if you bring up parallel information when the media doesn't tell us we can talk about it, then it's hard for them, you know, to talk about it, because then they're like, ah, I'm not supposed to talk about it. And so, you know, anyway, but I'll tell you what, there's a couple of guys that have been flexing with their power for some time right now, and that's Congressman Ron Paul, 31-year veteran congressman from Texas, and Alex Jones on the Alex Jones Show. Who've been doing this for 15 years. And I got to tell you, if he can do it for 31 years, AJ can do it for 15 years, I can do it for 5 years, y'all can do it. So let him hip you to the game.
That the war drums are intensifying, and that the propaganda mechanisms, the very same neocons that promoted fictional WMDs in Iraq in 2002, 2003, are right back at it.
Well, I don't know that answer, because I'm not on the inside. I still think there's some disagreements going on, and it's not. If they had been unified on this, Bush would have done it. So obviously, there's two arguments, even among the radical neocons, and the other ones that are less radical. I think it's still going on, and I think reality sets in too. There has to be some military people who are really worried about this. They, you know, what are they going to fight a war with? What happens? You know, they had these war games where they theoretically bombed Iran, and the consequence was it would be a disaster for us. So there's military people arguing against this as well. So some of the outrageous politicians are arguing go in and bomb other people who have a little bit more common sense. Economic conditions are such that where are they going to get the troops, and where are they going to get the money? And that's all we need right now is more of this. So I think the debate is still going on, and I certainly don't have the answer on exactly when. But I know there's a lot of people there who would like to do it. People like Bolton, they're going to agitate until they have their way. Hopefully they don't win this fight.
Well, Jeffrey Goldberg of The Atlantic, who pushed some of the key disinfo on Iraqi WMDs, he's back, and they're putting him on television. And he's writing for the New Atlantic. But at the same time, I 3 weeks ago saw the Financial Times of London with top Clinton advisor and also Obama advisor Robert Shapiro saying, quote, if we don't have another Oklahoma City or 9/11 to make Obama look strong, we're going to probably lose the House and the Senate. And then now other neocons are openly writing articles saying, Obama, attack Iran, we'll back you, you'll get political support. So a lot of people I'm talking to and are really concerned that Obama may back an Israeli strike or even a U.S. strike in the short term to have the people rally around him as some type of October surprise.
Well, I guess it's a possibility, but like I said, I don't know the answer to that. I think our job is to point out the great dangers and at least, you know, explain to many of our friends in the conservative movement that, you know, the typical conservatives shouldn't be endorsing illegal, unconstitutional wars of aggression, and that I think that should be our job, and I just can't say that I can either alter the future nor know the future, but I do know what our obligations ought to be.
Looking at the economy, many economists are saying we're really in a depression if you look at the old standards of economic analysis, but that there's a lot of cooking of the books now. Now the mainstream media is saying, okay, it's a double-dip recession. They're talking about the Federal Reserve, you know, putting out trillions of more dollars the taxpayers will have to pay back. Congressman Paul studying the economy and being, you know, very accurate in predicting what happened in 2008 and that the stimulus would not work in the last year and a half. What is your economic prognosis for the United States?
Well, I don't talk about double dips because I don't think the economy ever really recovered. Everything that said the economy was recovering were artificial statistics coming from the government. Let's say they give a tremendous tax credit for somebody to refinance their house or buy a house, and then there's a little blip upwards. They spend a couple trillion dollars, and that translates into $100 billion or so of GDP increase. I mean, what does that mean? The cost was 10 times more than the GDP increase. So they talk about a recovery, a weak recovery, and now there's going to be a double dip. I think if we were honest with ourselves, we would say we started slipping nearly 10 years ago in the year 2000 when the NASDAQ bubble collapsed. Good jobs went overseas. We've lost jobs that never came back over that whole decade. Things got much, much worse after the last crisis hit in 2008. And I think it's a continuation of downhill for us. And since they're doing all the same things that they did to put us into this crisis, we can expect this economy to get much worse. The American people are going to be a lot poorer, and they're only going to have the printing press to look to. They're going to keep printing money, and that's going to precipitate the dollar crisis, and that'll be a political crisis. That's when we better have our ducks lined up so that we know you have enough allies to replace the system we have today with a constitutional system, sound money, free markets, private property rights, all the things that we believe in. But that is coming. But once again, you don't know when. Now, we were just talking about the Iranian situation. If next week they go ahead and bomb Iran and the oil prices double or triple and one of our ships gets sunk, that war would spread rather quickly. That would be a whole new ballgame and may be what would collapse the dollar.
I know you don't like people to talk about how great you are, Congressman, but you really are a true statesman, a medical doctor, someone who's been given honorary degrees for your understanding of economics. And yourself, Judge Andrew Napolitano, and many others in the last 8 months have come on this show repeatedly. And I read the bill as well on air. The financial reform bill allows the SEC to have secrecy, autonomy, cannot be investigated for covering up for Madoff for 10 years. It allows this private board of the Federal Reserve to have more power over the economy in their 97 years of looting as a front group for private banks. And now that's all come true. So I'd like you to speak to that, A. But then, B, you also read the different versions of the health care bill and said this raises taxes, cuts benefits. It does allow the government to come in and set parameters on what type of care people will get. And the Democrats and Republican leadership, they stonewalled on this and said none of that was true. Now, everything you said 6 months ago on this show is admitted. They're coming out and admitting, okay, this doesn't cover pre-existing conditions. It's a tax increase, and the insurance companies wrote it to rip you off as a bailout. Okay, it's true. This gives the Federal Reserve even more power, and more junk bonds are being issued, and record derivatives are being issued. I mean, it's clear they're accelerating all this over the edge of the cliff. So I mean, you've been proven right again. I mean, it's so incredible how criminal this is.
Well, I guess it's better late than never. You know, people are starting to read it and find out. I think the most atrocious statement came from Nancy Pelosi when she says, well, when people were arguing, well, we need to see the bill and study it, she says something like, well, we need to pass the bill so we can read it. And that's, boy, the understatement of the century, because that's exactly what happens. And even as hard as my staff works, every little comma and every little phrase, it is pretty tough to dissect all of that. That's why the whole process is so bad. But I protect myself against ever endorsing that, because it doesn't take long to find out what their goals are and what their intent is, making government bigger, raising more taxes. But even as bad as it is, it's even worse than some people think. Barney Frank is a big regulator. He loves this stuff, and I work with him on some issues, but obviously on this regulatory bill, I did not. And he, I believe, was honestly surprised about how much more power was given to the SEC, because he has a sort of an instinct of more transparency, and he actually wants to do something about that. And he is probably the most informed person about that bill as it was going through. I'm amazed at how much detail he knows, but he can't possibly know every single thing the Fed and the SEC does behind the scenes. It sticks this stuff in at the last minute, and it's just absolutely out of control.
CEOs blame consumer class for joblessness. Admit economy grows from bottom up. And I'm catching a lot of this out there. I'm catching a lot of, like, consumer confidence is low. Consumer confidence is low. And as part of our Keep It Happy programming, no matter what's going on, like, the coolest guy is the guy that keeps it happy. You know, it's like being in a bar fight and then saying, nah, man, let's be cool and sing some Christmas carols. Think he's playing? You better listen what he's saying, punk. Don't make me go pop the trunk on you. He got an old Mossberg and a mossy oak duffel bag laying in the back of the dump. Boy, don't make me go pop the trunk on you. Think he's playing? You better listen what he's saying, punk. Don't make me go pop the trunk on you. He got an old Mossberg and a mossy oak duffel bag laying in the back of the dump. I'm telling you, that as part of this Keep It Happy thing, they're going to say that it's our fault for not being happy enough with how crappy this economy's getting. And we're getting all the info we need. Like, I'll tell you, everybody's going to get used to the fact that there is an elite running things. And by the time we tell them that much, they will accept it. And they will have learned how to accept it, because that's the process that's happening right now, where they're like, yeah, what can you do, yada yada yada. And so we got to figure out a way to get angry at this stuff and do something, because if we don't, something will be done to us. And if we can't get angry about what's being done to us, then more stuff will be done to us. That's just his plan. And you know, as you heard Ron Paul and Alex Jones talk about, you know, on the show there, like, there are people There are people agitating for things, but there is institutional resistance. There are people waking up. It just takes ordinary people. And I'm catching the vibe in the streets. I think there are more people, especially about the health stuff, which is their key. Go to naturalnews.com. I always shout naturalnews.com out because all this blood is spilled out there. You know, walking through a war zone, just walk through a grocery store. You know, 90% of that stuff will kill you. Maybe not right now, but if you get cancer in the next 5 years, based on what you know, what you hear on shows like this, would you be surprised? What he's saying, punk, don't make me go pop the trunk on you. He got an old Mossberg and a muscle yoked up a bag laying in the back of the dump, boy. Don't make me go pop the trunk on you. It says here from Eric Blair at the Activist Post, courtesy of InfoWars.com. The economic debate has been going on for decades. If only we give more money to the wealthy elite, they will create jobs and some crumbs will trickle down to the hungry public. Many in the middle class herd bought this carrot in hopes of he-shawing their way into the next tax bracket. Indeed, this approach may have been effective during the Industrial Revolution, when entrepreneurs used the capital to open American factories. And surely this method can also work if fair trade agreements existed that would motivate job growth at home. But that is just not the world we live in anymore. And this is what I mean about how it's all coming out. The big corporations are going to take over all of the, like, Cadbury. I'm seeing the new purple Cadbury ads out there. One of them has the Jay-Z Rockefeller sign hands in this cartoon kind of, I don't know, half medieval, half kind of Inca, you know, folkish, you know, Latin American, artwork. And you can see these up there. They're purple, they're Cadbury, they're dairy milk or whatever. And there's one which has the hands put up in a diamond symbol. Two hands together, thumbs touching, fingertips touching, fingers together to make a diamond. That's the Jay-Z Rockefeller Records, you know, sign, which is also supposedly an Illuminati pyramid. And so they're introducing that. And look at all the kids' books. All the kids' books are zombies, vampires, black magic. You know, Good Girl Gone Bad. The 30 million copies of The Girl on Fire is sold. Look at the goddamn Exorcist. Last Mental Sodomy. Whatever that new movie is. The latest Exorcist. You can see on the cover of the buses. It looks like a woman who's been raped by Satan. You know, on there. She's in kind of loose white rags. Her hair's bedraggled. Her legs are askew and open. And it reminds me of the inside of the Appetite for Destruction album by Guns N' Roses from way back in the day that showed a multi-dildo demon raping a girl. Because they're playing both of us. They're playing both. I'm just saying that guys, they know if guys don't fight back, we're screwed. And they know that likely just not enough women will fight back as a group. You know, they know that. So they're empowering women in bizarre and weird ways by saying, you know, join this sort of mainstream version of reality type of activism. And I know Shorty, a friend of mine, she went to Africa to visit a kid where she was sponsoring for like $30 a month or whatever. And she was not impressed with the world vision visionaries down there and the others. And she said it was a bunch of locals, you know, but they were acting like pricks too. And she couldn't believe it. And I was like, look, Canadians will screw other Canadians. Make no mistake about it. Chinese will screw Chinese. Italians will screw Italians. Jews will screw Jews. Mexicans screw Mexicans. Blacks will screw blacks. Everybody will screw everybody. You know, you just tempt them with enough money and power. And you convince them the world is screwed and they got to get theirs anyway. And blah, blah, blah. And they're just a more advanced psychopathic or sociopathic version of what they're turning us into through their actions, you know, turning us into because they're and then if all we do is parrot what the media tells us and or talk about the weather because we're scared to talk about anything else, then they're going to give us more and more evil stuff to talk about and more evil ways to look at the world. Let me get back to this article for a sec. See how they're trying to tell us to by Eric Blair, activist post, courtesy Infowars.com, how they're trying to tell us the latest round of we got to make the rich richer so they'll give us more cake if they let us eat cake. I saw an article in the Globe and Mail last week called The New World Order of Food. And New World Order was bolded. Bolded. I might fish it out of my bag in a sec and read it to you. But they're coming for our food next. Like, they're messing with our food, and now they want to take it away. It wasn't bad enough they poison our food. Now they're like, now you can't even eat. Like, if you're a prisoner and you get poisoned food, you're like, this is an outrage. This is a human rights violation. You're violating my human rights. You're poisoning my food, dude. You can't do that. I'm already a prisoner. But then if they take it away, then what would you say? I mean, that's, you know, what if you're actually a prisoner? Like, if you're actually in prison, you know, like literally, like physically in prison, then your options are fairly limited. You know, I mean, the prison system saw Wagwan at Gitmo, and they were like, what? I mean, they'd seen that before in prison. And so, especially the private prison industrial complex that has a goal to its shareholders of creating more prisoners. So they create really crappy conditions, kick these guys back out in the street, total, you know, I'm not trying to diss all prisoners, but I'm saying they try and make you a nutcase, just like they try and emasculate the general public and keep them from doing anything about anything. And then those people can't get a job or hold a job or whatever, and then boom. And they're trying to create more and more and more of this. So back to this article. These days, it seems ludicrous to give the international robber barons even more when they have exited the U.S. manufacturing stage and have no intentions of returning. You can say all this about Canada, too, by the way. It's all the same thing. You know, our manufacturing jobs going, gone. And we're just a service economy now. You know, we basically just sell each other services, stuff, coffee, food, clothes. None of it made here. And as a result, we have very little to sell to the world. And once they stop having faith in our AAA rating as countries, we're kind of screwed. And that is the plan. That is the plan, to make us, turn us into scum, and then have the world point at us and go, hee, 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 die, scum. And anyway, so back here. They all seem to have no intention of investing in America or Canada until public consumption resumes. It may not middle-class consumption drives domestic job growth, not them with even more money in their already fat pocketbooks. So basically what they're saying to us is this. Is they're saying, you people get no money unless you spend more money. And we're like, but we're broke. You know, all the prices went up 5, 10, 20% in the last like 6 months, year. And my salary, my income didn't. And there's all these new taxes. You know, there's the hydros going up and the HST. And yet you're telling us we have to spend more money or we won't get no money. So back to this article explaining that. The Washington Post reported Friday in a revealing article titled, "With Consumers Slow to Spend, Businesses Are Slow to Hire." And you might go, duh. And I might go, duh. And we could all go, duh. And not challenge this type of construct, because that's what they'll teach us to do. They will teach us to go, duh, stupid. Hell, they'll teach us to say, look, I know why we're stupid, because there's fluoride in the drinking water, aspartame in the chewing gum, and tons of other stuff, and because there's GMO foods, and because we got vaccines and shots full of toxins, and because we got chemtrails in the air poisoning us, and I know why we're stupid. That's what they'll try and teach us to do. Honestly, that's where it's going. Like, we're going to need to find ways to justify how well we're doing despite this, and what this all is as it becomes more and more visible. And it's all Orwellian. It's either Orwellian, or if you want to go back further, it's Masonic puns. Where they're like research. What's research? It means they search for it again and again. They ain't never finding it. They get some. I know a dude knows a dude. So this is apocryphal secondhand, but he was working on a cure for hepatitis, and then he was ordered not to cure hepatitis. He was saying to his dude, you know, he was saying it was his teacher there. Hey, this is like not good. This is like not good for people putting this stuff in this, and then not working on the leads that we're getting out of some of this research, which is pretty crappy leads to begin with, but we're making headway. And his prof was like, you want your PhD or not? And he's like, okay, yeah, I guess. Well, then do what I tell you. And that's it. And that's inside the feducation system, feducation. So the smartphones. You seeing all these ads for smartphones out there? Well, how long have we had smartphones now? You know, 5 years maybe, in a really big way. The last 2-3. Are we getting smarter? Are they making us smarter? Are the smartphones making us smarter? You know, is that access to information? Is that interruption of our own thought process? You know, where like every few minutes you're either checking something or you're getting bugged by somebody or something, and then you're texting, you're not talking, you know? It's are they making us smarter? No. And that's why they're called smartphones. So you can see the Orwellian doublethink that goes on out here, and I got it. There's an article here from Henry Macko, HENRYMAKOW.com, and I'm interviewing Dr. Henry Macko this evening from 7 to 8 p.m. on relationships, because that's where it's going here. And here it says Illuminati persecute heterosexuals, Turkey baster families. 3 Hollywood movies tout artificial insemination. And there's a bunch of movies out there that are saying that, you know, guys aren't needed, fathers aren't needed. But I gotta tell you something, ladies, I just yelled at a homegirl of mine for not doing this with me, because her father passed away and we're old friends, and I'm like, look, I can do it up for you. Like, I can do it up. You might get a guy, you might be like, oh my God, he's my guy, he's so special. Ah, oh, he's a foot tall, and he really is. He's 50% more handsomer than he is. I ignore his all his faults, and I think I can work with this, and all that craziness on your mind. Hey, you just be like looking at that because you just want to be, you want to really like a dude. That's the thing. You may say you don't, but then when you get a chance to, it's over. You jump right in there because that's how it works, and that's what you want, and you want a dude to really like you. So, you know, it is. So I'm a dude, right? And I was saying to Shorty, look, I was telling Buddy about this. If a girl got a dude who will do it up for him, like an older brother or a brother for that matter, or a father figure, you know, then then the other dude knows that there's a guy who'll, you know, break his face if he messes with this chick. You might be bigger than me, but I'll find a way. and so you know, there's that, and there's also, you know, some sort of guidance in this area. Some sort of feedback, you know, and I'm telling you, you don't need it, but if you say you don't need a man, if you say you can do it yourself, if you say that all the time, then we're out of there. We're gone. We'll either mentally check out, and you can catch me in the den, you know, watching my big screen, and chilling out with my fantasies, you know, because I ain't. You know, I ain't feel like I'm something where I'm at, so I really got to escape from you all the time, honey. And it's not all your fault, but you are getting trained to do this, and that's where it goes. And so, they're using a bunch of giant socialist sticks. You know, they're controlling gay culture, the Illuminati, the New World Order, the powers that be, the establishment, the, you know, whatever you want to call it. We can all tell they're in collusion by now. Anyway, you know, we can all tell that the mass media is not, you know, nobody's breaking out of the pack to go, everybody hates us, everybody thinks we're lying, but a lot of people still, you know, vibe with us anyway. We're losing our ratings, we're losing our money, we're losing our advertisers. A lot of us are going out of business. We're getting crushed by the alternative independent media. And yet nobody's breaking out of the pack to go, we got to try telling the truth. There's bits and pieces, though. And a lot of these bits and pieces are meant to normalize the truth before those of us who know the big picture, the eugenics, the socialization, the libido castration, The destruction of the family, of the relationships, the perversion of the kids and the adults who let the kids get perverted, because that's their perversion. All that sort of thing. If people don't get hip to that, then they'll get used to all that incrementally in piecemeal. You know, it's like we got Sodom, the firm of Sodom and Gomorrah Inc. You know, out there, the public relations firm trying to manage this. You can call them the Tavistock Institute out of London, England. Go to Tavistock.org and you can see some of their work, or Google Tavistock. You can read about some of their work or read critics of their work. They're using a bunch of big socialist sticks. They're controlling gay culture, and even my gay homeboys, they'd be like, oh man, I can get laid whenever I want, but I can't find a dude who I really like, who I can trust, who I can build something with, who I can spend time with, who I can, you know, develop something with. You know, they have trouble doing that, more trouble doing that. And old gay guys will tell you that things done change. Old guys will tell you in general things done changed. Old, of anyone over 40, you know, over 30, you know, you got some clue. And so the question is, what do you do? And anybody under that, get a clue. Get a clue. Because I'll tell you where this goes. You know, so I'm going to talk to Dr. Macko this evening more about this whole persecution of traditional roles for a specific purpose. Again, if it's about what's promoted widely. You know, sometimes people say to me, I'd be like, yeah, I saw a bunch of craziness in chapters. I saw a book of UFC fighters out there that looked like male homoerotica. You know, just a bunch of black and white pictures of these guys, mostly with their shirts off, you know. And it's just one quote from each, and it's all basically the same quote. Well, you know, basically like, you know, when the fight starts, I zone out. It's all about beating the other guy, whatever. And it's three pictures of them, you know, like almost naked. And just a whole book, and it looks exactly like the Robert Mapplethorpe stuff from like 15, 20 years ago, where he used to take pictures of like Nazi skinheads naked. And those were very, very famous. And this, you know, 10, 15 years, 20 years later, whatever the hell it's been, look up Mapplethorpe if you want, Mapplethorpe, if you want to go into that a bit more detail. But, you know, 10, 15 years later, you know, this is the change of that, where we're worshiping, you know, straight guys are worshiping that. And again, none of this would be a problem. And I grew up on comic books. I like guys with big muscles. David Robinson, my favorite basketball player back in the day for the Spurs, because I liked him as a cartoon character. You know, I thought he was cool. He was a nice guy and a good player and all that too. But there's something appealing about that for us, or that type of thing. But when you know your kids are screwed, you know, the schools suck and the food sucks and the system sucks, and you heard Alan Watts say, you know, 5 out of 6 prescription drugs don't work. You can go to naturalnews.com for more on that article. Amazing. 80% of prescription drugs, 80 plus, don't work. This is just admitted through a study. They just, tested this. And we're supposed to go on them, and there's a giant new 27-acre CAMH concentration camp being built at Queen and Ossington in downtown Toronto. So they're going to poison us, drive us crazy, make us act crazy, and then throw us in a giant mental health concentration camp, drug us up more. You know, when you know all this is going on, what is your culture doing for you? You know, and there's this article here, My Story, The Russian Girls of Harbin, with a girl with two cute white or blue doves tattooed on her chest, high up on her breast, and she's got black hair and a coy look. And she was a 17-year-old girl this guy met on the Chinese border city with Russia of Harbin. And there, basically, there's a bunch of Russian girls, beautiful Russian girls, who engage in sort of casual prostitution. They would lead guys on and ask them to make them an offer. They seemed to reason it was like casual sex with a cash bonus. The willing men were usually wealthy students from Africa who were kitted out like their rap idols, wearing basketball shirts and oversized jewelry, and had insatiable lust for white girls. For girls who shunned this behavior, the price of dignity could be high. One girl I knew worked all week on top of her studies in a bar for only 8 RMB, or 80 pence an hour. She could have earned a month's pay in one degrading night. It took me a while to reconcile prostitution with these often intelligent and charming girls, but sometimes they would hint at a familiarity with the underworld, and it gave me a glimpse into the degeneracy of their homeland. So there's a versions of this here, from the Facebook photos to the, and there's girls, and there's suicidegirls.com, courtesy of a link from Henry Macko, MAKOW.com, where you can read the rest of these articles. where it's a straight up. The thing's called Suicide Girls, and it's a straight up social networking thing for girls. And you're encouraged to send in your picture, and you're getting a lot of. And you look at a damn American Apparel ad in the back of it now, or I Magazine, and how they all look like Illuminati mind control sex slaves. They have these blank stares in their face, half naked and stuff, sometimes, or dressed younger than they are. And you look at the new Victoria's Secret model, the one main three, the model there. She look about 15, 16, you know what I mean? She look about 16, straight up. She look about 16, maybe 18, so fine. She look 18, you know what I'm saying? But a Victoria's Secret model could be 25 and hot. Or can she be? What's the new normal? So this guy makes friends with this girl, Daria, and Daria's kind of bumming around, smoking too many cigarettes, bumming too much booze, begging guys for something to eat. And it says here, after they became friends and he saw her later, one night I saw her looking very ill and weak in a club. No doubt because she lived on booze and fags and it was taking its toll. Fags meaning cigarettes. She was asking for money from a guy and he and his friends were being abusive and laughing at her. I picked her up, took her to McDonald's. She ate, cheered up under the bright lights and gaudy, childish artwork on the walls. As our conversation developed, I asked what would make her happy. Love, she replied. I was shocked. Maybe there's a Russian boy I can be with forever. I looked at the lovebirds tattooed on her chest and saw the damaged child inside. I sat with her until sunrise. Daria taught me that despite their sexy and dangerous veneer, the Russian girls desire what all women innately want: love, a family, and a good home. Now, I'm not saying this that you know, you have to do this. But what I am saying is that it's worth considering. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to make sure we don't consider it. So, before Mr. David James, the People's DJ, takes you on a wonderful jazz experience, keep in mind the crap that we get. Report to Urge Overhaul of TTC on the cover of thedamnstar.com today in Metro. What the hell does that actually mean? You know, what does that actually mean? So what does that mean for us? You know, like what are we supposed to do with this information? So there's entertainment, there's information, and there's valuable stuff you can use. Find it. And find some music like this. Find something that gets you going to handle these issues. Because if you don't, it looks like they're going to handle you. And male-female relationships, let's get something straight here. You got to have faith in each other. And you got to need each other. So figure out how to do that. I'm out of here, folks. Naturalnews.com, Infowars.com, CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. Great places to check out locally. PressForTruth.ca, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, ConspiracyCulture.com, CanadiansForHealthFreedom.org, the Toronto Street News homeless paper out there. All of these things can give you information that will allow you to tell somebody something that they respect, that they respect, which means they'll respect you. And that will give you power.
Napoleon, my post, my goalie, my ice brought the goalies, and I embody every characteristic of the egotistic. He knows he's so fucking gifted. I just need in time alone with my own thoughts. Got presence in my mind, I'm putting open up my own thoughts. I tell like creativity, purity, and honesty is honestly being crowded by these grown thoughts. Reality is catching up with me, taking my inner talent, fighting for custody. But these responsibilities that they entrusted me, as I look down at my diamond encrusted piece, thinking no one man to have all that power. The clock's ticking, I just count the hours. Stop tripping, I'm tripping off the power. T.O.D. and pump that, the world's hours. With a whole nation, they say I was the Obama nation of Obama's nation. Well, that's a pretty bad way to start the conversation. At the end of the day, God damn it, I'm killing this. Y'all know damn well y'all feeling this. I don't need jokes, I'm on my own. I ain't got a power trip. Who you going home with? How they doing? I'm surviving. I was drinking earlier, now I'm driving. Where the bed, huh? Suicide.
sembradoras. Somos las que sembramos las semillas del futuro.
Somos las que te traemos noticias y perspectivas progresistas de nuestros países y